Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the warfare.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End. I'm Marcus Dash, your legendary Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn. And we got another week of football, baby. Well, or 2 weeks of football, really, because we got the bye week.
Yeah, 2 weeks of football is what we got.
I don't know how you're feeling today, JD, but I'm like on cloud nine right now.
Man, you know what? I feel incredible. But here's the thing, though. I already knew we was going to be in this position. I knew it. I told you this. I told you this is where we was going to be. And a lot of naysayers and doubters, you know, chimed in and gave their 2 cents worth. And now you're not going to make it. And we're going to lose. We even had some fans talking about we're going to lose in the first round. This is not a playoff team. And, you know, we had to deal with that. And so, Marcus, what I was doing yesterday, I don't know if you see me, but I started bringing all these little receipts out on these jokers, man. I have a whole lot of receipts I need to pull up. There's a whole lot of jokers they got to answer in for. I got a whole handful. I had a lot of receipts. I had a whole lot of receipts. That's just a little bit of it. That's little. Okay? That's what we're dealing with. So, this is where we are. This is where we are. I ain't gonna talk about it, but there's a whole lot of I'm pissed. There's a whole lot of these jokers, Marcus. A whole lot.
A lot of CVS receipts right there, JD.
CVS, Best Buy, hater receipts, hater rest receipts, doubters. I mean, you name them. Not to mention all the ones, and I didn't even watch any of the shows today. Not one show did I watch on sports media. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear Eden Crow or the back all the Chiefs played a great game. And how can you believe? I don't want to hear none of that. Didn't want to hear none of it. Okay. save me the excuses. Okay. Save me pandering to our base. Save the whole, they did a great job. And then Lamar lost the game. Because I know what it's going to be. It's still going to be someone not giving the Chiefs credit for being a Super Bowl team. That's what it is. They're not going to give them credit. So I don't know if you watched the games or the shows today, but I'll let you talk about it. Go ahead, brother. How you feel? I know. Go ahead.
I feel good. I love looking. I love reviewing and seeing whatever everyone's talking about, like kind of the hot topics. Most people are rolling it back and saying they're never going to doubt Patrick Mahomes again. So everyone's like, I doubted him, and they're never going to do that ever again. So it's like, okay, there you go. You know, so people are walking it back, but I say this, and it's like, okay, so you're not going to doubt him. So now you're going to be on his train. So when and if the Chiefs lose again, then you're going to say, you know what? I should have been on this train. And so, like, that's what's going to happen.
Look, man, we don't want you. We don't want you, okay? Thank you, but no thanks. We don't want you. We don't want no new supporters. We don't need that. We want the doubters. We want all the ones coming against the Chiefs. That's what we need. Y'all have helped wheel these guys toward the Super Bowl, okay, with all the hate and the disrupting of a conversation that you had, all the disparaging remarks you had on our wide receiver core, the disbelief that Travis Kelce is the same guy, that he's too slow, he's too old, Taylor Swift is going to run him into the ground. Now they faces on all commercials. We tired of watching the Chiefs. Winner for us, Lamar, because Patrick Mahomes is not we need to save him from the family, his brother, his wife. You know, you're not black enough. Like I've heard so much craziness surrounding this. My wife just came home and she was telling me that rumors are, like, the whole conspiracy rumors, right? Because everything's scripted, correct? Right? Everything's scripted. That because Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are dating, that the NFL has scripted this thing to be just like it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wanted to use Taylor Swift. That people are on a whole different level of craziness and conspiracy theories, man. And if you're there on the whole flat earthers and all, like, whatever conspiracy you want to bring, okay, this is one of those ones that you top out right there as well. Yeah. That the whole script writing of the NFL is actually going on. Like, I just, for the life of me, for the entire life of me, I do not understand how people get into these things. Critical thinking, whatever it may be, I just don't get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I saw, and that's the thing too. It's even like crept into politics, where it's like, regardless, I know we have a lot of people in chat, everyone's got different views and whatnot. I'm not going to get into any of that specifically, but like, there's contingency on certain parts of one of the parties where they think that the NFL has scripted it with Kelce and Taylor Swift, that Chiefs win. Taylor Swift will endorse a certain candidate afterwards, and it's all scripted by left-wing media kind of stuff. And that's one of the things I saw. I'm like, wait, what? I was like, first off, why are we even bringing politics into this? Secondly, how the hell does that even, like, I don't understand that. It's like, she's not a politician. I mean, what? I don't know. But yeah, it's crazy. But I like that we got all this topic of receipts, JD, because this week, I mean, you didn't really get into a lot of the conversations that I was getting into, the arguments I was getting into on YouTube with some of these people.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I give a shout out to a lot of these people in the Ravens flock before we begin this great show, because you know what? I think they deserve it. Some of these people, I think they really deserve some of this stuff, JD.
I love it.
Made a slideshow.
Love it. So I love you, Marcus. I love it. We think the same thing. We think alike. Go ahead, baby. What we got? What we got here? What we got?
Mainly, and I only went to one of the videos since when you and I did a film breakdown of the Steelers in the Ravens game. These Ravens fans had a huge problem with that. The main reason why we looked at that was Ravens didn't lose that many games this year, but you wanted to look at one of the certain games they did lose to see why that could be and what the Chiefs could pull from that. Because as you know, you've been in locker rooms, you've been in these film rooms with the NFL teams. They not only look at your good stuff, they also look at what teams did to you that worked, which is a lot of these people, a lot of these Ravens fans couldn't really understand. So anyway, we have the comments here. This is from one particular comment stream with these Ravens fans. Okay, taking five games into the season with a new offensive coordinator. LOL, man, get real. At the time, Ravens didn't score over 30 points yet, man. We was searching for what works. If Spags go back to that game like you did, KC's dead for sure. Look at the finished product. Ravens got better. Ha, 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 ha. So I go, sure thing, best DBs in the league and best DT in the league. Somebody else, a different Ravens fan, best DB against who? Best DT? That why they consistently get run on? Dude, Chiefs will get dominated. Chiefs are overmatched. They haven't played or beaten a team close to the Ravens level. Ravens 31-13. So this guy asked me who we played against. We played against the best receivers in the league, buddy, okay? And my response, you don't know ball, dude. Pretty apparent. Good luck today. I'll do my best not to troll these comments later. Here we go. And then not the nervous show film from a week 5. How foolish is that? Dude, Ravens have greatly improved since week 5. Not only that, Ravens beat themselves in week 5. Dude, learn the game. Almost certainly be back for you at 6 p.m. And so, yeah.
Come on. Come see us. Love it. Come see us.
So,
learn the game. I love what you said. Learn the game, clown. I'll be here to collect your tears in a few hours. I love it. We give him a little thing to put his tears in. Now, here you go. Here's a little tear. Here's some tears. Here's some droplets in here. Here's some droplets of some haters that are out there, baby. Go ahead. What's the next one? Tears.
Right. Tears, you're real delusional. Chiefs fans living in the past. Chiefs playing a real team from top to bottom. This is easy money. Ravens, you'll find out. Believe that.
Supreme Conference. Oh, my goodness. Really? Listen, okay. That right there in itself, that whole narrative that we didn't play anybody all year, right? That we had an easy road. Who did we go against? When you talk about specifically the DBs, well, who did you go against? Let's see. Let's name the top receivers in the game. Devontae Adams? Check. Went against him. A.J. Brown? Check. Went against him. Devontae Smith? Check. Went against him.
Tyreek Hill? Twice.
Tyreek Hill? Twice. Check. Went against him. Jalen Waddle? Check. Went against him. Stephon Diggs?
Twice.
Check. Twice. What about Justin Jefferson, right? Okay, arguably the best receiver in the game. Yeah. Put him out of game. Check. When he gets him. Okay, let's go. No. How about Jamar Chase, right, and T. Higgs? Check. When he gets them. Okay?
Garrett Wilson.
Who?
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson. Check. When he gets him. How about the whole receiving corps out there in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
Who is him? Right?
Jaguars too, Calvin Ridley. And that was when they had what's his name before he got hurt. Kirk too.
Christian Kirk. Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, check. Tight ends, Laporta, check. We went against St. Brown, check, went against him.
Hawkinson.
So who?
Hawkinson.
Hawkinson, check. Who else do we need to call? Who else do we need to see? Right? Who else? Did they think that they was gonna have a receiver that was better than the caliber receivers we already seen? Not just Saul, I'm talking about shut down. Keenan Allen, yes. I couldn't even think his name because there's so many of them. Thank you, TGIL10. Thank you. Shut them all down.
Packers receivers, which I think some of them had good games, but we still wanted to get those guys as well. And I would take the Packers receivers over the Ravens receivers as well.
Dobbs, Dobbs, Watson, what's that? Weems, yeah, Reed, check.
Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy as well.
Yeah, they bottom tier compared to everybody else's name. Everybody's name, they bottom tier.
Yeah,
right. They right around there where the Ravens receivers are.
Yep. DJ Moore, Bears.
DJ Moore? I mean, man, look. You see? We got him. We got him all over the place. I'm going to go in next video. I'm just going to put receipts up here like this, Marcus, around my chest. So we just, you know.
A receipt necklace?
Yeah.
I like that. You know, the defense wear the chains after make a big play or a receipt necklace. And there's more. There's more too, JD. I just took like. Yeah, this is a second. There was a lot of them, but I only stuck to two pages of stuff. But I mean, this is like all different things. Your game plan is the same as Texans' game plan. Playing in the first half, you think that the Ravens haven't already adjusted to this? Then you're fooling yourself. Okay, I guess personnel doesn't matter.
Come on, man. Listen, I said this last week that what was going to work for us, and Spags was in his bag. We knew this. Spags know these guys really well. The difference between us and the Houston Texans is because our complexity of our defense, how we bring it from different sides, different angles, different guys, we're heads and shoulders above the Texans in blitzing. We just are, okay? The Texans was the least amount of blitz team defensively than anybody else in the league. So they were actually implementing something new into what they were doing, game plan, schematically. And so that's why they were able to kind of see what they were doing, right? Spags, whole different game, whole different ball game altogether. When I went there and I watched this film, and I watched the sucker over and over again, because I just wanted to make sure what we were doing. And I knew exactly what we were going to do. And it was. I said, we got to bring five. We got to bring six. We got to bring six guys, sometimes even seven. And we got to trust our guys in the back, you know, to do their job. The best corners in the league, the best men corners in the league, did their job. They did they due diligence. They shut these guys down. The only one I could think of they got a big play was that Zay Flowers, and the idiot had to mess it up with the Tony. Okay? And then that sucker got we got a little bit of that crawler back, didn't we? Okay? Yep. You know, act like you've been there before. So we'll get into all of that, man. But listen, hey, all of that. Our guys came up big because that's who they were. But go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Marcus. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just letting our viewers see the different comments and stuff. You know, just, you know.
Look, yeah, what I'm telling you.
I was blindsided, but this is one thing. It's like one thing, because I think I saw some people online say, oh, Ravens fans are really cool. Like, you know, they weren't talking a lot. I was like, wait, but like, for me, in our experiences, we've had Bengals fans, we've had Bills fans, we've had Raiders fans come on, but like, not even in the same class as what the Ravens did this week, because they really like commented on all our videos. We had some people who liked our stuff, but a lot of these people were just coming on and saying, oh, you guys are going to get killed this week and dominate two possessions. And it's like, wait, really? One, they say you guys are going to lose. That's fine, whatever. But like, to specifically say you're going to get dominated 47-14, I mean, that's an actual comment. 47-14.
47-14? Where you see that at? Somebody has it up there?
First comment, the Ravens tackles were injured this game and with a bunch of crying emojis. Ravens are healthy. Ravens 47-14.
Oh, shoot, man. That sucker right there needed to be smacked. Somebody should have backhanded him as soon as he said 47. Psh, out your mouth. Who are you talking about? This is an indication of people not knowing how good the Chiefs were and how good our defense has been. And not knowing our defense was one of the top-rated defenses the entire year. The entire year. This is going back to the snub of McDuffie and Snead not getting the Pro Bowl, not getting their recognition for who they really are. This is a snub to our linebackers playing great games, going out there and not backing up from anybody, doing what they've been doing all year. This is a doubt to what our guys playing defensive end, defensive tackles have been doing all year with the pressures and the sacks for the entire NFL. They just haven't recognized it. They just haven't seen it. 47? Look, I get, you know, we had a bad game, and that's what everybody always want to revert back to certain, and I get it, because sometimes you have to. With obviously losing to the Raiders, okay? I said there was two teams, you know, Raiders beat us, and then it was, you know, Denver, okay, where everybody had the flu and throwing up and probably didn't have any energy. We still was handling them. You know, Raider game, yeah, okay. Other than that, every other game that we lost should have beat Green Bay, should have beat Detroit, should have beat Philly, should have beat the Bills. You know what I mean? Like, that's four games that we should have won, okay, that we were in at the very end, that, like, without a doubt. Like, one call goes this way, we win. We win. And it was – this is what we were seeing. So I get, yeah, out of sight, out of mind. You know, look, if you're a Ravens fan, you are riding high this season, okay? And you had every right to do so, all right? Look, I am a Lamar Jackson fan. I like Lamar a lot. He's a very talented quarterback. I love everything about him, the way he carries himself, the way he speaks to the media, just his whole disposition of who he is. I like that. I think he's a solid guy. I really do. You know, and I watch guys. I watch how they act, and, you know, he's a solid guy. And what you want is consistency. He's a consistently solid guy. I never heard anybody talk bad about him. Shoot, me and my nephew were talking, Chad, because, you know, Chad, you know, Packers fan, you know, a little upset because, he, you know, they had to go home. But we were talking. And we know Lamar's a solid dude. You know, you want to see him, you know, almost win. I said, Chad, you know, I almost wanted to see him win, but unless he's playing us, he plays us, it's a whole different ball game. And, you know, he just had to take that L. That's just what it is. Some guys, even good guys, got to lose. Good guy had to lose. A lot of talent. But we can't sit there and say he is better than Patrick Mahomes, or he was going to go ahead and beat Patrick Mahomes in this. There's a reason PM15 is who he is. There's a reason everybody's talking about him being the GOAT already, okay? In his infancy of being in the NFL. They had to take 20 years like Tom Brady to do what he's done. I mean, look at his body of work right now. Like, come on, man. Are we serious? And I said, you know, we're having this conversation because this is what I hate about it too, okay? I'm just going to have to talk. And I said, look, everybody put so much pressure on Lamar Jackson's shoulders, right? They said everything about Lamar, why he didn't win, why he's not that good. But when you compare, you know, all the other quarterbacks getting paid $50-something million, you know, Joe Burrow, $55 million on the sideline. Justin Herbert, $52 million on the sideline, okay? Josh Allen, he can't win it all, right? You got all these quarterbacks. You know, Russell Wilson making $250 million, however much he was making. All these Dak Prescott, all these guys making all these millions of dollars. Huge money. Old Achilles heel, Aaron Rodgers, you know, making 30, okay? Shooting his shot at Travis Kelce because he's doing, you know, different videos and stuff out there. Every chance he get, he's trying to put his name out there. You know, Chad, but my nephew, he looked like what's the name from? I see his face. Dad got it. From Con Air. That he looked like him, you know, Nicolas Cage. Oh, from Nicolas Con Air. Yeah. Come on, man. Like, all of it. Yeah, TGIL10, Fruitcake Rogers. Yeah, man, come on. Like, every chance you get, you go to the – look, I get everybody's doing whatever they have to do, okay? But one thing you cannot discount, one thing you just cannot do is you can never, ever discount PM15, Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to do it. Not on our watch, what you've been watching all these years since he's been in the league, what he's been able to do, what he's been able to accomplish, you are not going to minimize that. You just can't. And go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and I think one of the things that kind of what you talked about, the way a lot of these talking heads in the media who don't watch the Chiefs, and we obviously know our team. And that's the thing. It's like the stats are there. The proof's in the pudding. Anyone can go look at the stats, but people were choosing to not look at the stats. Being the number two scoring defense, looking at our sacks, looking at the pressure rate. But, like, people were discounting our defense, pretty much not giving any credit. No one's giving it credit, the Miami game, the Buffalo game, and then coming into this Baltimore game. So the fans who weren't paying attention to us all season were duped. And then on top of that, you talk about Mahomes, but overall, you talk about it, there's a different – and people in the NBA, people in the NFL talk about it, former players – there's a different type of feel in the playoffs. Everything, the stakes are higher. Obviously, stakes are higher. It's win or go home. There's no next week. There's no game tomorrow night. There's nothing to get prepped for. It's it. It's win or go home. And the stakes are different. Our team, as young as it is, number two, the second youngest defense in the league, everyone's so young on this team. We have some elder statesmen, but these guys won a Super Bowl last year. They know what it feels like. This is just another game to them. Yes, it's another game to them, but it's still a playoff game, but they understand the stakes. They understand the meaning of it. Whereas Lamar, that's the deepest he's ever gone. That's what is it? He only has two playoff wins. That was the deepest he's ever gone. That team, everyone, they're trying to rely on Roquan Smith saying he's the next Ray Lewis. This Roquan Smith is great. That guy comes from Chicago. All he knows is losing in the last few years. He's never been in a game like this before. And you saw, you know, that the penalty he had to Trey Smith, the unsportsmanlike conduct, stuff like that. The amount of unsportsmanlike conduct they had yesterday really showed and proved this team wasn't ready for the moment. Our team is. They've been there before. Andy Reid, during his press conference today, they asked him how they plan on practicing this week. He's, we're going to do what we normally do. That's not normal because teams don't usually get to this point. But Andy, it's such an every year thing now. It's like, yep, we're just going to do with our normal schedule, our normal routine, because it works and it's proven, obviously. But it's like it was a lot of discounting the playoff experience, and our defense is doing what they did. So yeah.
Yeah, no, it absolutely wonderful point. Great point. I thought about that point because when guys have been there before, they know how to act accordingly. Okay. You know, it's almost like when they say, like, hey, man, if you got into the end zone, hey, act like you've been there before, right? You know, don't go crazy. You know, you go to a club and you ain't never seen nothing before. Don't act like you just, oh, my gosh, like you ain't never seen nothing. Act like you've been there before, right? Come in, be cool, relax, chill, right? And so that it was to their detriment. So Raekwon Smith, Clowney, okay, with the targeting with Patrick Mahomes right up against the head. Zay Flowers with the boneheaded call, taunting. Like, all these things was to shoot them in the foot, and it cost them. It cost them field position, and it cost them yards. Could it, and ultimately, it cost them the game. All those things adds up. They do. And that's what you don't want to become, you know, self-inflicting anything that you're doing. Why do that? And so when you have players that have been there before, that know how to carry themselves, you can tell a difference. You can absolutely tell a difference. So I get it, man. There's ways that you go about things. And that was, without a doubt, to their demise. It was to their demise. So I'm going to look at some of these comments we're writing over here because everybody's rolling a whole lot of different stuff out here, right? Let me see. Pop your collar. Pop your player collar. I got it right here. I see you. DeMonte Green, no doubt. No doubt. And I know I see over here everybody's talking about Charles Minshew. It's terrible, 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 terrible news. And so knowing he has an ACL, and I kind of figured that. I was like, man, hopefully it's not that. I know he was saying, you know, of course, hey, man, do I look like a guy that's not going to play in the Super Bowl? And I was just like, man, I just hope it's not ACL. I said, that's the only way he's not going to play, ACL or something. But, dude, that's a blow. That's a blow. The thing is, guys are going to have to step up. We're going to have guys step up. Got 2 weeks to figure some things out. Bring some guys up. What guys going to be able to do? Is this something where now King Felix can make his presence felt? Daniel, of course, we know what he was doing, what he was giving us. I think you got some time to kind of figure some things out. You may even be looking for somebody that's out there on the street, right, to bring in. I'm just, you know, all that scenarios come into place, right? Now you start thinking about some things like, hey, who could we add on that is addition that's not going to break up the locker room, that understands exactly what we're doing, how we do things? And so, I don't know. That's a very good question. It's a very good question.
I will say there are, like, and I know we're going to try to get past the Super Bowl right now, but as far as future implications, this is a torn ACL. This is going to last until next season. And for those of you who want to write off Chris Jones saying he's gone, we're not going to pay him, we're not going to have a Minshew for at least the first 4 weeks of the season. Sometimes you saw Kyler Murray's injury. That happened even before this whole point last year. And he didn't come back to like week 8, week 9. And so you mean to tell me you want to start off the season without Frank Clark, or not Frank Clark, I'm sorry, Frank Clark's name there, without Chris Jones and Omenihu? Come on. Come on now. Yeah. I thought it was crazy talk to even say Chris Jones is not going to be on this team next year, but now we're talking about Chris Jones and Omenihu possibly not being on this D-line next year? No way. Beach is not going to let that happen. So.
No, I don't, you know what, to me, it would be hard for me to move on from Chris Jones, okay?
Yeah,
because he is just a generational talent. He has one of those guys, a rarity, that you're just not going to get from anywhere else. There's rare talent like him that's walking around the NFL and out here on the streets. It just is. Bottom line, especially when, you know, if you're saying complimentary football, somebody beside him is not being there as well. Let's just be honest, okay? I would try my best to work something out with Chris. I'm telling you. I don't know what that is. I do believe that Chris is going to be hard to move from. He is. Without Chris, we're not in the position we're in. That's just be honest here. We're just not. So, didn't Aaron recover from ACL in 3 months? No, it was Achilles, wasn't it?
Achilles, but that was. I think we're finding out now that it was BS. The him coming back in 3 weeks or 3 months.
Yeah, try to say, oh well, I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. You don't put that out there that you try to come back, try to give them hope out there. Forget it. But my thing is, you know, is this a scenario where Frank Clark gets a nod, gets a call? Is this? And to be honest, like, I wasn't even entertaining the Frank Clark thing before all of this happened. You know, when they was, oh, bring Frank now. Frank's good where he is right now, okay? And the Chiefs understood that. Flapjack, Frank in shape? We don't know. Flapjack City? We don't know. We don't know that. The thing is, we know they say Frank Clark, playoff Frank Clark. He could give you something in the pass rushing, but this might be a thing where maybe King Felix put him on the outside. We got Daniel, who's doing a great job on outside too, right? I don't know. I don't know. And I get everybody's into the whole nostalgia of things, right? But sometimes you just move on from people, all right? You just move on from people. And I get you might have had a partner that you loved who was able to cook steaks or could, you know, he was the best maintenance man in the city, this side of Mississippi. But he wasn't a very good partner. You just moved on from him. Sometimes these things happen. So I don't know. I like that. Imani, I think put trust in FAU, Dan, and the Heron. I like that. I think we should. And I think that there's probably more guys. There are more other guys out there, probably pass rush specialists, that you could probably get besides a Frank Clark. All you have to do is just tell him, hey, man, go get the football. You stay on the outside. You post and go. So I think, man, this is it's just a scenario that you had to think of, obviously, coming into the game because, you know, you're going against a high-powered offense. But we've seen high-powered offenses before.
Yeah.
And we delivered. And we stifled them all, Marcus. We stifled them, guys. Okay? This is going to be a hard one now. Look, they got some boys on the other side. We'll get into that on Wednesday a little bit more, right? This is the whole, you know, the grading show. But I do like this, man. Look, hey, this we got to understand. You know, when business comes into it, there's certain guys. Sneed and Chris are the two guys that we say, look, we got to be able to hold these guys here. How are we going to be able to do that, right? So there's a lot of reworkings. It might be some contracts that we know you can switch up, you can change,
yeah,
right? On both sides of the ball to get you money. So let's just be honest here. On both sides of football to get some money back. Like, hey, okay, look, we're trying to sign guys. We're trying to get some guys in free agency. This is how we need to do it.
And so, also, too, I think what if we were to have lost last round or yesterday, for example, I would say, yeah, maybe there is like a – maybe I could see some of these guys not coming back. But and I'm just talking about Sneed and Chris Jones, right? I think regardless of whether they bring Sneed back, he's going to get paid by someone, whether it's in Kansas City or not. But I think, especially Chris Jones, he's been here since the Alex Smith days.
Yeah.
If we win the Super Bowl, and I think when we win the Super Bowl, you're going to leave in the middle of a back-to-back. When you're the king of the run it back phrase, you're gonna leave in the middle of a three-peat. Come on, there's no chance. This is my opinion. There's no chance. Guys like the guy who's all he knows is Kansas City in the NFL. He's gonna leave this team in the midst of a three-peat. No chance. And that's in regards if we win or lose. Because even if we lose, wait. So we pretty much live in the AFC Championship game and Super Bowl every year. You're gonna lead that one of the best runs, historic runs that any league's ever seen, NBA, NFL, or anything. You're gonna leave that. I just don't see that happening. This year showed so many of the guys who maybe on the fence of this whole thing showed like, man, like our offense was like clicking all year. We still got to the Super Bowl. Our defense for the first time with the second youngest group in the league, we got to the Super Bowl. And we have something special brewing here. And I know we're a Chief podcast. Some other fans will say we're biased and homers. But what we saw this year was historic. I'm going to say, Jay, I may have not said it on the show. I did not think we were gonna get to the Super Bowl. I thought, man, like we're gonna fight like heck, and with Mahomes, anything's possible. But I didn't expect this. I didn't expect us to go through Josh Allen. Expect us to go through Baltimore to get here, and we did. And it's like,
oh, you didn't.
In my heart, I wanted that, but I was scared. I was just scared, Jenny. I know you say on the show you're not scared of anything. Heights, well, maybe, but I was scared. I was scared. I was scared, JD.
I'm gonna write you on, put you on a receipt too. Get you out there, guy. Hey, Marcus Dash.
You saw the bet I had, JD. I was scared. I had us win the AFC, but I think we're actually gonna do it. Well, we did it. But I guess I'm on the receipt now. So
you're on the receipt. There you go, Marcus. There you go.
There you go.
No. You know what, though? Listen, I get the difficulty. And for me, the reason I believed in these guys all year is because I've been in a locker room. And sometimes it is only you all. Sometimes it's just the guys in the room that's not abandoning anybody. Because you know the work that you put in. You know the time that you put in. And so even in the level of difficulty, through all the adversity that you go through, the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, and the injuries and things not going right, you just don't lose faith. You're just not built like that. That's how it works, especially when you're a championship team. These guys have been winning. You know what I'm saying? So it'd be different if you didn't come from that pedigree. It'd be a different thing if you didn't have, like, some of the greatest guys that ever played a game in the same room with you. One of the greatest coaches of all time in this entire history of this game. Like, to me, I could see it from the outside. But for somebody who's in the locker room, somebody who's been there before, like, you know what I'm saying? This right here, the blood, sweat, tears, which you just give up, you don't allow doubt to creep through. You just don't. You just can't. You just can't. And so when I see these guys, you know, fight week in and week out, when I see guys giving it up every single day, the going in and working, I'm seeing Patrick Hayden coming up here talking to the media, asking him, what's wrong with you all? And the frustration on his face because he wishes he could change everything right now. It's, you got to have a vision to understand where it is you can go, okay, being on a team, especially football, all right, especially in football. And I'm saying the guys in the room, Ginger Girl, she patting you on the back. You know, yeah, he needs it. We all need it. I get it. We all need that at times. Okay. But you can't waffle. You can't waver. You just can't. Because that is the daily guys, the whole, you're the man in the arena. Right? When they talk about the man in the arena with the face dirtied up and you get beaten down and you're the man in the arena. All the fans outside of it, they get to see it. You know, they go home and, you know, they talk about it and be upset and throw beer and get pissed off and all those different things. But when I'm sitting over here and I'm telling that story, right, about that faith in the wheelbarrow. This is what I'm talking about. Get into the wheelbarrow. Now I'm going to hear a story. That's what it is. It is that faith. It is that. It is that, like, capturing. When you see somebody in the huddle and you're looking at this other guy, you know he's bought in. You know that. And you know this guy right here is not blinking. And if I'm sitting over and I'm looking at each and every guy, it's trust. I got trust in these guys. You know why? Because I've been out here battling with you every single day to build that trust. I can't be on the fence if I'm playing. As soon as I hear that, we beat. We're done. As a coach, and I know I'm kind of on my soapbox right now talking. As a coach, I used to tell kids all the time, when you're going in, you got to have a conversation and a mindset that you're a winner. You got to win. I don't care what it looks insurmountable to you. I don't care how bad it looks to you. You got to think in. You got to come in and dominate. That today is your day. This game is your game. This is what it has to be every single time when you're playing out there. You don't show up just think you're just going to show up. If you're going to do it, spare me that. Get off the bus. Get out of the locker room. Do something else for a living. But like we said, if you're going to be a winner, we're going to win. We're going to win when we come here. I don't care. Baltimore, Buffalo, Timbuktu, it don't matter. We're coming out there with a win, with a dub. That's what we're doing. So when I'm talking about crab cakes and chin straps, that's what we mean. That's what we talk about, Marcus. That's for real.
Yeah. So I will say this. One thing that I think was poetry and kind of symbolic, and we kind of hit, we talked about it yesterday, was the play of MVS, a guy who was crapped on by the fans, a guy who was counted out. A lot of people wanted us to cut him, which obviously maybe no one's doing that in the middle of the season. MVS, the way MVS played.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted him out off the team. A lot of fans didn't like his response to interview questions that he had in the locker room. When someone asked about drops, he goes, "What drops? I don't know what you're talking about." And it was like, okay, what's going on here? And then, like, you know, him motioning to Mahomes when Mahomes threw the ball a little bit behind him, and he's like, "Yo," like, and a lot of people took that the wrong way. But the fact that Mahomes, when he was asked about MVS and his receivers and the drops, he said, "We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna get it right. I'm gonna trust my guys." And what happens last week? MVS came through. This week, when the game mattered most. Who did he throw it to at the end? MVS, a guy who's gone through it all this year, and came to him at the end of the year. And I remember it was the drop in the Eagles game. Mahomes actually said about himself. He said, "I could have put the ball in a better spot." Taking the blame himself. What happened yesterday? Puts the ball in a perfect spot. MVS catches it. Game over. Bye bye.
Everybody looked at the optics of things. The optics of it, right? And it is. People can move on from others very quickly when you're not in the team setting. If you don't have any buy-in into this, no investment, looking at the guy every single day, know his family and all that, it's easy to move on, right? Because all of a sudden, you just become an object. So you're just a piece. Oh, get rid of him, put something else in it. And it's like, no. Look, we've been building this trust. For the 2 years he's been, we've been building this all season, in practice. Going over it. I'm talking to him on the phone. I'm talking to him early in the morning. I'm talking to him after practice. Like, Patrick Mahomes is telling MVS, "I believe in you. Hey, look, I get you messed up. Hey, we understand that, you know, yeah, we'll get on the same page with everything. But when it comes down to it, if I need a play from you, I know I could trust in you." That means the world to MVS. That means the world to him. And that's why I said, man, don't listen to the noise out of here. You don't listen to it because there's so much of it, and you could get drowned by it. And that's in everything in life. It really is. That's everything. The noise everybody gets into, that, oh, my gosh, why are we all not in good shape? And it's too much noise. Sometimes you got to have somebody sit you down like, listen, you are okay. And if you're not, you will be. It takes that. And Patrick Mahomes is that guy. So it's easy to move on from. I said, no, MVS could do something. We ain't gonna pay this dude $14 million and sit him on the bench, have him as the most expensive bench warmer? Never. No, that's not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. So I guarantee, you know, if Embry was telling him, look, if you ain't gonna catch, then your butt is gonna block. And you're gonna be the best block out there. You can't run routes? Guess what? You're going to be over here sitting on the bench with me. Somehow you're going to have to figure this out. And this is exactly what it takes. These guys, through all of this, through all this adversity, have figured it out. Through all the bad calls from the coaches, even the coaches have to learn. Okay? Who you got, how to utilize it. Right? Trav, fighting, you know, father time, okay? Now the new girlfriend, he figures it out because he has to. That's who he is. PM15, Yeah, you get out of sorts. You get a bad call. You go after the referee. Everybody sees it. Oh, everybody's upset. Pinion 15 figures it out, saying, I'm not that guy. I need to switch this back to who I am, okay? Because that does nothing for our team. It does nothing for us, right? Let me control what only that I control. When we see him these last few weeks with this look in his eye as the Grim Reaper, the champion, the world champ, the defending champs, the defending champs, whole different thing right here, man. It's a whole different thing. So, look, y'all, apologize. I know I'm in my mode, okay? The coach, this is who I am. But to me, I just made sure I told my players, as soon as you start talking and doubt creep in, you're already beat. You're already beat. You let that doubt come in, oh, we got beat. Oh, we too slow. We too fast. Oh, they got the best running team in the league. We ain't going to do nothing about that. We just need to hold on. You are beat. So this is what we have to have this thought process. That's why I said I don't want an easy road for us at all. Not one easy moment. Make it as difficult as possible for us. Okay? Make it as difficult as possible. We needed that. That's what we need. That builds character. That's character building right there, Marcus. And that's all we've done. We just built character week after week. That's why I said we don't need no support. We don't need from them talking heads out here who saying everything. All they, you know, because they took the narrative, ran with it. The receiving corps is the worst. Okay, yeah, we have problems and issues. Okay, but so did other teams. But guess what? Who's still standing tall at the end of all of it? Who didn't think we'd go into Baltimore and hit them dead in the mouth from the very start, from the jump? We jumped on them jokers. They didn't know what to do. You know, I seen it, you know, the little play calling stuff. He's sitting over there like, hey, he looking at his. I called that. It didn't work.
Yeah.
So.
I read today that we are the fifth team in NFL history to win a game after going scoreless in the second half of a game. I thought that spoke volumes about how good our defense played yesterday. And Spags We Trust is all the guys were repping after the game.
Spags We Trust, man. These guys love each other. They love playing for one another. They believe in Spags. Spags believes in them. And I told you exactly what the game plan was going to be. They were going to sit there and they was going to trust in Spags' scheme. And Spags said, I'm going to trust in my guys to cover whoever you got. I don't care who it is. Yeah, you got a great quarterback on the other side. You got some great receivers going against, some great tight ends, a good offensive line. But we are coming in to absolutely hit them in the mouth and decimate them from the start. If everybody don't know what this is about, don't come to Baltimore. You know, I can't talk into that idea. The accent that Spags, you know, he has the,
New York
accent, right? Yeah. But I know how Spags, he's thinking, man. That's how it is. But hey, Marcus, we already 48 minutes in, man. We ain't talked to grades yet.
We got grades yet. That's all right. I think we gave the fans what they want before we get to the grade. You know, work them in slowly to the grade coming up here.
It's. Okay, we'll be quick on it. We'll be quick on it. Because I got to do another show after this. You know, that's what happens. Everybody want to talk to you now. Anyone talk to before then? They was waiting for the Chiefs to go home. They were waiting to go on vacation. We want the Chiefs going on vacation. We ain't going nowhere. We are here.
We also have our 90-second thing afterwards too.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, but we're here. We are here. This is. Look, Chiefs Kingdom, we are here. Don't get it twisted. Shoot, all my boys, man. You know what I'm saying? My dudes, you know, from college and all my guys, man. Love them all to death. All Ravens this, Chiefs that. I said, man, get out of here with that. We ain't doing it. So I had to stand on mine. 10 toes down, baby. It's what it is. So
Stood on business,
period. And that's what I love about all our fans in here that's coming over. Y'all keep showing up week after week, man. Love you guys. Love y'all. There's a lot of comments over here. I know we it's running so fast. It's hard to see it, man. You know, but I've seen just a little bit, man. All y'all making great comments. Every single one of y'all. All right. We watching this thing. We're watching this from the inception to where it is now. This is what we watched. And this has been a great season to watch what this team has become. I can't even think of a better year than something like this with the level of difficulty that we had and the adversity going through. This is a bonus. Love it. This is a bonus, man. And so nobody waver. I can see somebody say, we're going to, till the wheels fall off. You best believe that. Till the wheels fall off this thing, we're going to run it. That's how it's going to be.
Love the energy, JD. T-Gill 10 loves the energy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, we're going to bring it, man. You know, that's who I am. I'm a passionate guy. That's it. I'm out there, I'm watching the game, and I'm ready to go and suit up and get in the three-point stance. I'm like, I'm going to give you something. You know, that's what somebody – I seen that somebody said in the comments earlier, yeah, they had to bring Ray back.
Yeah.
Even when they brought Ray back, I said, like I said in our show, yeah, we're going to have to bust that tail too, Ray. We're going to bust that tail. I said, it seemed like that 2004 game. That's what that is. That's what that is. He came back doing all that. I said, yeah. Got something for you too, right? Come on. Go on, sit on over here.
And so Sonny's coming out pointing at his ring. I was asking because his most recent ring, he won with us in San Francisco, ironically. But like, what ring were you pointing at his rings? Which one are you pointing at? You're pointing at your 2012? What are you pointing at the one you have from 2020? Which one are we pointing at, T-Sizzle?
Yeah, man.
But all right, so are we starting offensively? We're starting defensively today, JD.
Man, let's run through our defense real quick. Okay, it's gonna be a quick one. All right, it's gonna be a quick one. Man, we're just gonna start with, you know, because I said this is probably our unsung hero of the group wise, our defensive line. Our defensive line did a great job against this offense. They knew what the assignment was, and they absolutely delivered. Times they had, like, you know, obviously, you know, we knew it was going to be a dogfight from start to finish. Okay, at times they were going to get the best of us. They made a couple of plays here and there running football, but majority we stuffed these guys. We stopped them from actually running the football, and so a lot of it took place with the penetration what our defensive line was doing. The pressures that they were generating from Amina, from Chris Jones, right there, but people want to talk, I'm still getting ready. Come on, man. That's crazy. Man played an absolute brilliant game yesterday. Kolakis doing the same thing. Mike Danner. You know, guys coming in, and it was helping out. With the times that they got the big plays, guys were out of position, or guys were getting drawn off the ball. And then, of course, it affects our linebackers, right, because that's how the scheme of it. So it's got to be gap integrity all the time. And for the most part, they did a great job of it. And so I'm going to give our D-line, man, I'm going to give them a B. I got you a B-minus. So I'm going to give my D-line a B-minus, okay? Because I think it was – you had to win in the trenches, and the Ravens, for the most part, have been pushing people around all season. They have. But we weren't going to be denied. Just weren't going to be denied. And I start seeing some guys – that I asked to show up, you know, Pinnell, Warrington, making some plays. Like you still need to come out here and make some plays, some push. So, big bicep Pinnell was coming out there pushing some guys through. It was a good job. Men who getting around on the side, Kolakis, you know, Chanel coming up in the line doing some, you know, some blitzing and blocking. So it was a great scheme, man, by Spags. Utilizing all the different pieces and variations on the D-line. So B minus for our D-line.
Tershawn Warden played a really great game yesterday as well.
He did better than what he has been. He has, you know, and the thing is, there was times he got blown off the football. But I said, you got to make a pal. Those are the things he has to correct, okay? So let me just be honest. Those are things he has to correct is making a pal. He's a little undersized, so you can't stand up. You can't be out upright, especially an anchor. You got to drive. You're not getting no push. Make a pal. Take two. Okay? That way you take two lanes up. Have a free reign for everybody else, the linebackers, to run through and make plays. And so he did some of that as well, right? So let's go to our linebackers. We'll just move back, okay? Linebackers, look. Missed a couple of tackles, a couple of sacks. Drew Tranquil, Chanel, and Bolton, all three of those guys played a great game, okay? And when I say that, they were solid with the absence of Willie Gay, right? And we knew that was going to be a big thing, but these guys handled it. You know, we seen Tranquil running all over the place. He played a brilliant job. The time when they gasses on one of them, they got on Tranquil, got on a couple of times, and that's where, like I said, the strong suit is not where, you know, but you got to keep those big guys off of him so he can go and play his game. And when he does that, he's incredible. He's incredible. He shoots the gap. He knows how to get there fast. He reads the offense, knows how to make plays, and he did that. Bolton, they isolated him a couple of times. He just had to have Zay Flowers. The one that Zay Flowers caught the touchdown on him, Bolton's running all over the field on this guy. Man, that's hard for anybody, especially a linebacker. So he did a good job, though. Like, when he had to get out there and make plays, he was able to do it. He was able to call the defense, because imagine putting everybody in position to be in the place to make plays, okay? It's good to call one thing, but Bolton's got to orchestrate that, put guys in the place where they needed to be. He did a great job of that. I could see the communication that he had with everybody up there, from the secondary to the D-line. Masterful job by him. Chanel out there making plays, did a good job in the run game. You know, some of the passing games, he missed the one, the sack on Lamar, needed that. Same thing with Drew Tranquil, needed that. We had two more sacks. No. But, hey, man, other than that, they played a good game. So I give our linebackers a B. I give them a B, man.
Obviously, with the Willie Gay being inactive this game, it forced guys like Tranquil and Chanel to maybe do things they don't normally do in our defense. But, like, I think – without Willie Gay this week, I think it really highlighted how special and how great of a free agent acquisition Drew Tranquil was. And he's been great all season. But obviously, when we're talking about a time like this, a guy who's never been past the first round of the playoffs, if that at all, comes in here and plays in the AFC Championship game. It's just a pivotal role against the most dynamic quarterback in the league. And he had some huge stops in this game. We're getting close to the end of the season here, and, you know, he's a free agent coming up here. But how important was Drew Tranquil for this defense this year?
Oh, man. Without Drew Tranquil coming in for Bolton, we never foreseen him getting hurt. It was huge. The type of depth. And here's the thing. When you bring a guy like Drew Tranquil in, you know, there's not a lag in your ability. And that's what you need. You need a guy to play on the same level that the guy that's going out. So anytime you can have something like that, you win. We're winning. And so Drew does a great job. Man, that's why he was one of our top signings, free agent signings. Got him for a great deal. But he wanted to show what he can do. And I'm glad he came here, because now in a scheme like this, he can thrive. He can absolutely thrive. So you just seen it in the game. You seen the mark on the game, what he did. This past game, you can see his mark. Because he's making plays out there. Like you said, this right here, this picture of him chasing after Lamar, he done that several times. Just running down his neck, just breathing on him. You know, getting his presence felt. He ran the one down, Mark Andrews, almost caught the ball. He's right there in his hip pocket, knocks it down. So Drew was making plays all over the field. All over the field, man. So huge signing for us. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I hope we bring him back.
Yeah. So let's go to the corners, okay, and the safeties. All right, DB's great. So we knew this week it was all about trusting Neil. Okay. You know, you had to have Bateman, you got Aguilar, you got Flowers, you got OBJ, okay? You got Likely. You got Mark Andrews coming back. And so you knew what you had to go. This is a good offense. These some good receivers. But we've seen it all. We didn't went through the whole list of guys that we've seen. We've seen it. Got beat a couple of times. But for the most part, these guys recovered. They handled. The reason Lamar wasn't able to go down the field as many times as he wanted to, because our DB was just covering guys. They was covering. Reed played one hell of a game. Justin Reed played phenomenal from start to finish. And so that one play when I seen him in the very first, when he stopped, I think it was Gus Edwards coming from around. They was pulling around. He was on the outside, just fitted. Bam! That's how I felt like the whole, yeah, it felt like that's where the defense, that was the theme up for the rest of the game. Like, oh, it looked like you got here. Boom! It just hit you, and you stalled, and it was perfect. Then he comes in, makes a sack. Man, Justin Reed, man, is playing incredible football. Incredible. Sneed, playing incredible football. That play on the goal line to knock that ball out of Zay Flowers, you know, makes up from the deep one, right? Superb. What are you going to say? Superb. So, Trip McDuffie, after making the tackles he needed to, right? Connors, Edwards, Mike Edwards coming in, making plays. He's all over the field. We got the most talented DB group in the league. Ain't nobody can tell me no different, for real. I know they want to keep talking about Kyle Hamilton, which he's a hell of a football player. That sucker, I was looking at the amount of grass he covered in little time. I was like, whoa, okay. Me and my brother both was looking at him. He was like, daggone. I'm saying, yeah, this sucker was getting there. Long, lanky, slender.
All over the field, man.
All over the field. He's good. But we talking about the Chiefs. Our guys is just as good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I give our DBs, man. I gave them a B. I gave our guys a B. So I think a B all the way around for my defense. Shoot, maybe even a B plus. Heck, I'm going to give our guys, because we got the interception. Our guys played exceptionally well. They did. Like I said, a couple of, plays here and there. No, you're not going to stop everybody the entire time. We know that, okay? But, I'm going to give our guys, man, a B+. B+, our DBs, okay?
Let's not forget Deion Bush coming in right after Mike Edwards gets hurt, has the interception there. I know Lamar threw in triple coverage still, though. I mean, big play. I mean,
great play.
You know, great JD, play. DBs are DBs for a reason. And they're not the most consistent hands. But coming up with a catch like that, woo, that was amazing.
My man Chad agreed. Chad, hey, yeah, B+, man. I had to give him a B+ on that for sure. Yeah, I agree with it. Yeah. Give him some love. They showed us love all last night, too.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and do special teams real quick. All right. We're through this real quick. Butner coming in, kicking the field goal. You know, we know he's always gonna be clutched. 52-yarder right down the money, right down the middle, money. So, Townsend, we stopped the one on the goal line, which is great. Justin Watson did that. We probably should have had a couple more and went into the end zone. And we got to do a better job of playing the ball, not the returner on those, especially when it's down there. Richie James did a decent job fielding the ball, just, securing it. He didn't really get a whole lot of yards returning, which he should have. And I think a couple of times I'm looking, and I'm former special teams coach, and I'm looking at guys, the gunners, and okay, man, hold up on the guy. But I knew, if anything, John Harbaugh was going to have his special teams playing well. It hell of a job by John. So, I gave our special teams. I gave them jokers. I gave them a B. I gave them a B too. You know, they ain't do nothing to harm us.
So I will say, Richie James, the one thing I will say of Richie James, I don't know if you know, is the him hold the ball like LeSean McCoy and Marcus Allen holding it like a loaf of bread. Tuck that, baby. He was holding it out like this, and I was like, oh no, don't do that. I would say it was slick. I mean, it was also slick weather conditions too. So I'm seeing that. I'm like, oh man, don't tuck it, please.
Yeah. So let's go to our wide receiver core. Wide receiving core. How you starting the offense? Rashee Rice was 8 catches for, well, what was it? How many yards did he have? I had his stats up here.
8 for 46.
So not a whole lot of yards, but hey, the thing is, 8 catches, that's what we needed to do. I think sometimes, this is me, I think it almost shocks him how fast he is at times. Seriously, because it's like he catches and he's like, oh, I'm going to start now, I'm going to go. And then he realizes he's gone and he realizes he's past people. I'm like, dude, like you're fast. Like be fast all the time. Like that one where he got called back and he takes the screen to the house.
Touchdown? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you see him like turn around, like, are these guys on me? He just pulls away. I'm just like, hey, you had it the whole time. Like it was so easy. So easy. So his presence. Just being solid as ever. We already said about MVS. MVS coming in, making plays, catches, blocks. Did a good job blocking guys. So he made his presence felt. Justin Watson coming in, making the catch. Should have been a pass interference on the one over on our sideline. They ain't called it. And it was a blatant pass interference. Should have been better blocking. There's a couple blocks he kind of missed, which came off of on those wide receiver screens, got to be a little bit more aggressive. Richie James, one ball was behind him, but he had gotten a pass interference call on him, you know, running the route. These guys did a good job on our wide receiver core. Big on MVS catching football at the end. That's what we needed. That play right there, wide receiver grade, earned them guys, man. Earned them jokers a B+. Yeah, B+ for me.
Yeah, and was. I'm looking here, the amount of receivers who caught a ball. I know last week only like two or three receivers caught a pass. And we're seeing a lot more. I don't know if you noticed this. We didn't really see mm-hmm. Mecole Hardman this week. We saw a lot of Richie James. We didn't see really Mecole Hardman this week, which I thought was pretty interesting. But MVS 2 for 38, Rashee Rice 8 for 46, Watson 1 for 16. Richie James had a target, but that was that pass interference. But yeah, only three receivers, wide receivers caught a ball this week. Interesting.
Yeah. So that we you know, B+ for them. So let's go to the running backs, RBs. Pacheco and CEH. We gave the football to Pacheco, and we knew he's only an hour away from the crib from where he's from. So we knew he's gonna have people at the game. What was pleasing to me. Well, not as, you know, we know he's going to run hard. You know he's going to find holes. He did a great job skirting through a few of them, getting some yardage, putting his head down and just gaining some positive yards. Was his receiving. Like, utilize him in the passing game, catching the football? It's like looking like a natural. Yeah, he did a great job. The one that he lined up outside and ran, I think, like a little in cut or something like that, caught it with his hands and got up the field. I'm like, dang, is that Pacheco? It sure was. You look great. You look great out there, man. I mean, that joker right there could be a dual threat without a doubt. This year showed me he could be a dual threat. And so, man, you got a guy playing like that. He's a baller. He's a baller. Love Pacheco. Setting the tone, like always. Without him, we don't know what we'll do. Sure did look like a pure receiver. Sure did. He absolutely did. Because it shocked me because I'm just like, who was that catching for? And I see it was Pacheco. Incredible job. So running for the tough yards, knowing that. So I said this in my tweet. I wasn't going to talk about it. But in the pass protection, CH could have did a better job. To be honest, man, okay, a couple times, got a sack, got pressure. CH misses his block. He, from the count going all the way out, should have been, you know, scanning to see who he would have. And I think he helped out Allegretti, which I'm sure they said, hey, look, if you don't have anybody, nobody comes, chip on Allegretti. Or chip on this guy, see what you got while you go out. And Hamilton came on the one, scot free, and CH missed him completely. So should have did a better job scanning that. But other than that, man, the RBs did a good job. They did a good job. So I'm actually going to give our RBs, I'm going to give them guys, I'm going to give them a B. That's what they got.
I agree. I saw some people online, and this is one thing you can talk to. We've talked about it before. It's not so much the yardage. It's the hard yards. It's the tough, gritty yards. And that was a tough front. 24 for 68 yesterday. A lot of people were talking about his yards per carry. But it's not so much that. It's the timely 4 or 5 yard chunks he's getting where it gets us into a second and six or, you know, a third and four. I mean, it's stuff like that, which I think people are just too much. Oh, man, 24 for 68 is terrible. 2.5 yards a carry. It's like, no, there's a lot of context and situational stuff that goes along with it. And Pacheco has been a guy we've been kind of yearning for such a long time. We finally have a guy who can just get us those hard, tough yards, man. And yeah, I mean, looking at a stat line, not the sexiest thing, but when you watch it, it's like, man, some gritty yards he's getting there, man.
Yeah. And that's what it is. It is the gritty yards. We're talking about the tough yards. That's what we're looking for, right? It don't have to be, you know, 15 and 100 and something yards. Like, when you're watching these guys put their head in and get down and dirty, get the hard yards and running and pushing the pile, that's what it's all about. We can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. Like you were saying, Marcus, you'd appreciate those things. So, yeah, all the numbers could be skewed. You know, they always tell, they ain't telling all the whole story. He ain't telling all the story. So, so let's go to a tight ends. Let's go to our tight ends. Whoo! Travis Kelce. The best tight end in football in the NFL. And it's not even close. I know they were trying to say Kittle or LaPorta. They had Mark Andrews. They started naming all these other guys. And I'm sitting there like, are you serious? Yeah, y'all really asked that question on Twitter. I guess the poll was asking people, oh, you know, obviously in their base, oh, Kittles and all that, you know. People like, oh, I'm biased. And yeah, I get, you know, Kelce. But for a tight end to catch the ball that the way he's caught the ball, the way that he's just absolutely picking apart defenses, getting open in holes. Not only that, but the chippiness, the way he's blocking, assignment sound, I think is really underrated. They're not saying that. Nobody's talking about it. I recognize it as a tight end, and he's doing a hell of a job. He's doing a hell of a job. He had 10, but I mean, when he said he had 10, you know, receptions, it was his 10th. I was like, I went back like, huh? What? He had 10 balls? I started going through, counting. Trying to tell you, man, they try to create the narrative. Oh, he slowed and lost a step, and then sucker's still killing them out there. You say whatever you want to say. You say he's the best in the NFL right now, period, okay? It ain't Kittle, LaPorta, or Andrews, or Hockenson, or whoever else you want to put in that conversation. It's Travis Kelce. It's Trav. Also known as Taylor Swift's boyfriend. And the kids are having fun. So whatever it is, to give him that pep in the step, fine. I'm cool with it. Y'all enjoy yourself. Kids, y'all enjoy yourself, okay? All right? Out there beating them up. Noah Gray comes in, catches some footballs out there, blocking, doing his thing. Blake Bell coming in, blocking. 13 personnel works for us. We starting to figure this out. 13-point personnel works. 3 tight ends in the game. 3 or 2, anytime you see those guys in there, multiple tight ends, we're going to win. We win. We win. So I know be biased? Should I give my guys an A, tight ends? I know I give A's to these guys all the time, but these guys, they play a hell of a they play a hell of a game. They do. When I say solid week after week, these guys play a solid game week after week. They keep showing up week after week. So for me, man, I'm going to give my tight ends. You know what? I'm going to give him an A. Give me A. Give me A. Now, is that too much? Is that biased, Marcus? What do you say? Come on, man. Yeah, don't lie.
I mean,
I'm overly hyped for my guys. B plus. I'm going to give them a B plus.
I think the A's this week.
I think the A's, man, look, they've been solid. I'm looking, man, it was pulling in. They was, yo, okay. All right. I want everybody. What do y'all think? What do y'all think? I want everybody chime in now. What should I give them? All right, yeah, I'm going to the comments. Comments, y'all give it to me. I got two right there. All right,
T Gilt and
A-.
A-, okay.
Yeah.
JD, also I'll throw this in there too. I know we were giving Kyle Hamilton love. That was the first touchdown Kyle Hamilton's allowed to any tight end he's guarded this year.
So. He was all over it. That was Trav making the play. A-. Okay, A-. A-.
You got another A?
I know you can do A-. We'll do A-, but yeah, A. Yeah, A. We'll do an A. I don't like the minus, but I don't like minuses on it. A. Let's do an A. Okay. Yeah. Appreciate you all. Thank you. A. We'll give the tight ends an A. All right. Okay. Here we go. Great.
Agreed.
Thank you. Agreed. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's right. I gotta go to, you know, the people out here. So let's go to our man. Okay. Let's talk to about our man. Right. DM15. There's a lot to be said about this guy. And I'm just going to keep it simple and say, this dude right here is a baller. He was meant to be a leader. He was meant to be a winner. He has been molded in the environment that he's been in to be a competitor. And when greatness sees that in you, you know exactly what that is. When I say greatness, I'm talking about Andy Reid, Tom Brady, all the other people out here, they understand the greatness in Patrick Mahomes. All the talking heads, as much as they like the Ravens, I think the Ravens are going to win. The one thing they always wanted to say, but Patrick Mahomes, I don't want to bet against that guy. That's what everybody's saying, because they know who PM15 is. They know it's a bad bet. They know it's a bad bet. When they were asking, well, who would you want at the end of the game clutch-wise, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady? And people are already picking Patrick Mahomes over time. They're picking it. Without question, without any type of pause in what they're saying, they're picking Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so. Pat, he's on a whole different stratosphere with his thinking. And this, especially right now, during playoff time, you could see what he's doing. Now, he may have had a couple miscues on throws, maybe. Probably could have got him up there a little bit more, right? But I'm just saying it because it's Patrick Mahomes, and I expect him to be perfect and everything, right? But the man with his legs, making plays, extending it, finding guys, there's nobody better. Ain't nobody better. It's just not, man. Just not. And so that's why it's upsetting when I hear these people, you know, and, you know, hey, Marcus, I'm going to put you on the receipt list. I got your name on the God. messing with you. But Pat just shows up in the biggest of stages. He does. Some guys just got it all draped all over him. He's draped with greatness and competitiveness, passion, and wanting to be the best. He's donning every single part of that. And he doesn't back up from it at all. He embraces every bit of it because he wants to win. He wants to be the best. So when you have a guy like that, man, you can do anything. Nothing is out of the realm of possibility of wins. Nothing. So Pat played a brilliant game yesterday, getting away from the pressures, extending plays, all those things. And lays a ball to Trav. You're talking about putting a ball where only he can get it. Ain't too many guys make that type of throw. Just not. So Pat, man, played as brilliant as ever. To me, Lamar might win the MVP, you know, because of the things that he's done this year. And I'm not mad with that at all. But Pat, without a doubt, is MVP from connecting it all together, right? All of it. From the difficulty he had to go through. The difficulty he had to go through with all the hiccups, with everything. And bringing himself back. Because he had to bring himself back. You made no mistake about it. It was a very unconventional year for Pat. Okay? And he had to bring himself back for it. So, Super Bowl MVP incoming, without a doubt. I agree with that, Chad. Without a doubt. All said and done, he'll be victorious. We'll see that. We'll see that. Holding it up. But Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in football. Maybe ever. Maybe ever right now. So, I know people want to argue it, and you know they want to talk about the wins and stuff and the Super Bowls, but go ahead.
I was going to say this because I know everyone likes to get – you brought up the Brady and Mahomes thing. The first 6 years of starting – so this is the comparison to the two. And that's the thing. It's like everyone wants to compare the body of work Brady has. Sure. Let's compare the first 6 years of starting to both guys. And I'm not saying Mahomes is better than Brady, whatever. You can see everyone has their own opinion on it. People grew up in different eras. Some people might say Johnny Unitas is the best quarterback of all time. So everyone's right. Got their own thing.
Heart star, right? You know, they can do all type of different people.
Heart star, yeah. So, okay, if you look at the regular season record, Patrick Mahomes, 72-22. Brady, this is the first 6 years of starting, by the way. So Mahomes, 72-22. Brady, 70-24. Playoff record: Mahomes 14-3, Brady 12-2. Mm-hmm. AFC titles: Mahomes 4, Brady 3. Super Bowl rings: Mahomes 2, Brady 3. So that's why this one's pretty pivotal as far as keeping up with the Brady trajectory. Yeah. And this is where it just gets kind of off the scales here. Touchdown interception ratio through the first 6 years: Mahomes 258 touchdowns to 69 interceptions. Brady. Mm-hmm. 167 touchdowns to 87 interceptions. I mean, that's just like, and then QB rating to end it, 103.7 for Patrick Mahomes, 88.4 for Tom Brady. So, yeah, some things for people to consider when they're talking about the GOAT debate.
Yeah, man. I mean, shoot. Look, everybody has an affinity for their own quarterback and stuff like that. To me, Patrick Mahomes is just an incredible player. I mean, you didn't really see anybody like him. You're not. Shortstop playing quarterback, best, most athletic, all-around QB, hands down, no doubt. That's why we were talking about the low snaps. It wasn't a problem of him going down and picking them up and getting them. It wasn't a problem. Not at all. It's easy. It's easy for him. So, Patrick Mahomes get an A. That's great. He gets an A. A fearless leader gets an A, and rightfully so. So that's the grades, man. That's where
we didn't do O-line, JD.
Oh, O-line? I didn't get O-line?
No, sir.
I got the grade down here. Oh, right. O-line. I thought I already went through it. So O-line. This was what they were supposed to win. It was a physical football game. Okay. And they brought it to the defensive line. And I said, for us to win, it had to win up front. Allegretti coming in, filling for Joe Tooney, right? Filling for Joe Tooney. And thanks, by the way, for somebody said, like, how you say your name. I know I say maybe Thuney sometimes, and Tooney, I don't know. But Joe Tooney.
We both say Thuney, like T-H.
Thuney, yeah, but it's Tooney. Yeah, I get it. Right, right. We know Joe T. Okay.
Joey T. Yeah.
Yeah. Alec Reddy comes in, plays a great game. I think he got beat maybe the one time, but he was solid. Scary Alec Reddy. Yeah. He moved his feet. Didn't seem, matter of fact, it didn't seem like there was any type of lag in it, like I was saying. No lag in what they were doing. Offensive line. He played a great game. Played a great game, man. Solid guy. We did it. That's a hell of a job signing him back. Seriously. Hell of a job signing him back. So Alec Reddy played a great game. We needed our guys to get physical, and they did. Trey Smith, the holding calls on him, I think they were both bogus. I didn't like neither one of them, to be honest with you. The first one definitely I didn't think was a holding call. It's terrible. The second one was a little iffy because he reached around him and kind of threw him. Now you're looking at him. So probably shouldn't have called that, but they did, all right? The one on Juwan holding and gets beat. Donovan did a good job holding guys up. For the most part, they held guys up. You know, we know that defense is going to win sometimes because they're that good. Cree did a good job. I seen a couple blocks he kind of came off of going to second level. But Cree's always as solid as ever getting up to the second level. And I think he got better, you know, just with the game. Because sometimes it takes just knowing guys. Like, it's first time you ever seen them, and you go against them. You're like, oh, okay, I see. This is what their move is going to be, okay? I see what their strength is going to be. And so I got to be able to adjust to those things, you know, play with leverage, all of those, get my feet right, kick step, whatever it may be. So that's what you got to do, adjustment, you know. So our offensive line, man, they played a great game. They did a good job just keeping Pat upright, giving time to throw. And that's what you want to see. You want to see us getting tough yards because they was pushing guys from Pacheco to get those tough yards that he was getting. That's what you want to be able to see. So with our O-line, man, I'm going to give these guys a B. That's what they got for me. All right? They got a B.
I like it.
Yeah.
And I like your grades on Al Greddy because that's one thing too, which is his and we'll get into more of that on how what you see when we play San Francisco this coming week, but on Wednesday. But the one thing I noticed about Al Greddy when we got him, when he came in Buffalo last week, I didn't even notice Tooney was out. And it's like, wait, Al Greddy's been in? How long has he been in? And it was like, wait, what? I mean, I didn't even notice. And yesterday you said it was very seamless where you didn't really see much really difference there. And it's interesting.
Yeah, seriously. That's what you want to see. You if you hear a guy's name, it's usually bad for offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think they just say, hey, man, Alec Greddy's coming in doing a good job for Joe Tooney. That's all you needed to hear. That's all I want to hear.
Yep.
So
he's the most senior guy in our offensive line room. The guy's been there since 2019. So he's seen some things. You know, he's been through the ups and downs, the winning the Super Bowl, the first time against San Francisco, playing in that Tampa Bay game, the one we everyone wants to forget. Played in that game, so he's been through the ups and the downs and the ups and downs in the Mahomes era. But yeah, it was nice to see him. He was very emotional after the game and stuff, and that was really
yeah.
It's always nice to see guys, you know, show it, for some fans out there who are pretty relentless and ruthless with their comments. It's nice to see, and I hope those same fans when they see that stuff, they see actually how much this means to these guys that they want to comment on, whether it's constructive criticism or it's out of bounds criticism. Hopefully those people actually see that and like, wow, like, I mean, this actually does mean a lot to them. It's not just a paycheck for them.
That's right.
It's their livelihood.
It's their life, man. Their livelihood, man. These guys live and breathe for this. You're just coming in every single day and just putting your time in and punching your clock. It don't work like that. It doesn't. And the thing is, if you're doing that, guys, they'll stiff you out quick. Most you probably get called on it. Now, I don't get called on it. Shoot, you'll probably be fired. They'll probably send you somewhere else. That's how it works in the NFL. They move on quick. So, but this, man, it was a great game. And so I know that we're going to be ready for San Fran. We'll get into San Fran on Wednesday. And my time's came to the end, man. I got to get on this other show. But here's the thing. If your name's on any of these receipts, okay, we'll forgive you. Here's one. Look, Marcus Dash.
Oh man, I had a season long bet on the Chiefs winning the AFC. So obviously I was my heart was in the right place. I was just scared. You know, the Raiders came on Christmas scared me.
I know it, Marcus. Look, I love you, man. I already know where your heart is, man. I know you ride with us. Like, but that, you know, concern is one thing, right? Chief concerns. You know, we got concerns. And so if you're not playing the first half like you should have, and it's like, okay, I got some concerns about some of these things because this is what the show was all about. Having concerns and talking about it.
Yes, sir.
But it's good. It's good. It's good to have these conversations. It's good to know these things, right? And I love your truthfulness. I love your truthfulness. And other ones, too, I think Ginger Girl said the same thing, right? But listen, we all had concerns. We understand that. But we all in the wheelbarrow. We know it now. Like there's no doubt. We can have concerns and all that, but we still riding with the team till the wheels fall off, right? Till the wheels fall off, brother.
The wheels fall off, baby. So,
yeah, I'm going to keep these receipts. Like you said, I'm going to have me a necklace of receipts, a receipt necklace. Get around my. You want to be a part of that? Put it on my head, too. You're going to get these things going. I'm putting across my shoulder like a championship, WWE championship belt. Okay?
I love it.
So, now, man. But look, man, hey, love each and every one of you guys. Thank you all for coming in, seeing our show, talking to the Chiefs. Congratulations. Enjoy this time. Hey, it's all right. Be a very humble winners. Congratulate the Ravens because they played a good game. They had a great season. You know, somebody had to lose, man, and it was them. So how about those Chiefs, baby?
Chiefs. Let's go.
Chiefs. Yes, sir.
All right, hey. Everybody. That yes, does it sir. For us. What an amazing show. With the grades, you know, talked about the receipts. Did a little bit of everything. I love this episode. I always love our Monday night shows. But yeah, so that does it for our show tonight. Wednesday night, JD and I will be back on at 7 p.m. for a live stream. So I hope everyone comes in for that. And Friday, we usually have a betting show. Tasia actually wants to do a betting show this week, JD, where we actually go back and look at our overall records this year. So you get to kind of look at that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
To see the wins and losses, not how many we hit this week or this year in general. But yeah, so we'll do that. So Wednesday, 7 p.m. live stream, Friday, 7 p.m. live stream. I hope everyone enjoys the clips and everything we keep bringing for you guys. So yeah, we got some exciting stuff coming in the next 2 weeks for the Super Bowl preview.
Yes, we do. All right. Appreciate y'all. Ladies, gentlemen, fans, all of y'all. Love you all. Catch y'all on Wednesday. All right.
Love everybody. Good night, everybody.
All right, Marcus. Love you, brother.
Love you too, bro.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.